You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson is here. You can read about his film stuff at filmology.com. It's spelled with a PH. He's also on some other radio station I can't remember the name of. Mondays, 7 o'clock.
Which you should know because there's a sticker on the back of your car, perhaps, with that particular station.
Who knew? There's a secret underground tunnel between
there is.
Triple R and
774. That's how I get here every week.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's talk Gone Girl. We've got the trailer. But look, before we hear the trailer, the basic setup, it has sold, I think, 8 million copies around the world.
Wow.
So it's reasonably well read for a story of the moment. But give us the basic setup.
Okay, very simple. I don't want to talk too much about the plot of this film. It stars Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. They're a married couple. They've been married 5 years. And on the morning of their 5th wedding anniversary, she disappears in what appears to be suspicious circumstances. And before long, the finger of blame is pointed at her husband, Ben Affleck. And the ensuing media circus makes this a kind of a grand event.
Let's have a little listen to the trailer.
Nick Dunn, you're probably the most hated man in America right now. Did you kill your wife, Nick?
Everyone told us and told us marriage is hard work. Not for me and Nick.
As you all know, my wife, Amy Elliott Dunn, disappeared 3 days ago. I had nothing to do with the disappearance of my wife. I have nothing to hide.
Sammy got friends we can talk to?
No, not really.
You don't know if she has friends, you don't know what she does all day, and you don't know your wife's blood type.
Ooh, it's all very suspicious. Ben Affleck, Rosamund Pike. Okay, Josh, give us an idea of the film. Made by a great director, what's it look like, what's it feel like?
It's an incredibly stylish film, and that's not surprising given it is made by David Fincher, a guy who I've been following from the early 90s. We mentioned him a couple of weeks ago that he began his career in the film biz with Alien 3 and then has had such hits like...
Which apparently he refuses to mention by name. He hates it so much.
Well, yeah, they didn't release his version. It was one of those films plagued by studio intervention. I think he's disowned it, but there's still a sort of a trademark darkness to it. And most of his films, right up until the one before this, which was the remake of Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, have had that stylish darkness. These are incredibly polished films, and the DOP of these films, Jeff Cronenworth, I think has been with him probably from the early days. You know what, watching Gone Girl, having not read the book, I was struck by the way in which it reminded me of an 80s, 90s erotic thriller. You know those B-grade type of...
The really bad Alec Baldwin one.
Oh, there's so many.
Sharon Stone, with all the cameras. What was that one called?
Oh, Sliver.
Terrible. Sliver. Oh, it was terrible.
Sharon Stone's been in a lot, and also Michael Douglas. Like, think about things like Fatal Attraction, oh, God, that one we did with Demi Moore, Disclosure, Basic Instinct. And then
Indecent Proposal.
Indecent Proposal. Yeah. They spurned all those copycat films that pretty much went straight to video back in the 90s. You know what? This is similar in the same way that it has that erotic thriller sensibility. It has the protagonist who's not particularly likable. It has the seductress sort of femme fatale female character. But it's an incredibly polished film and a really sophisticated structure. I love the way in which this film kept taking right angle turns at various points within the narrative and played with your shifting sympathies, because at the beginning it plays on the innocent man accused, or is he? And then, you know, we start to get, as the backstory unravels and the flashback sequences, which begin as sort of fairy tale fantasy and become more and more sort of grittier as the film unravels.
So you liked it?
I really did. And look, I'm a fan of David Fincher's films, and I think one of his strengths is the way in which, for most of his career, he's balanced between like a one for the studio, a commercial genre hit, and then he'll do the project that he wants to do, like Seven or Fight Club. This is strange in the sense that it feels like those two preoccupations combined. It's a genre film in the sense of that erotic thriller, but it also has a kind of a twist which is more artistic, I think. And look, I think Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike do a really good job with the material they're given in this film.
No, that's the key thing, the material they're given. So I did manage to see this, and I actually have firstly, without giving anything away, essentially I think the plot's silly, and I'm not really sold on it because of the plot. I think you're right, Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike do a great job, but I was watching the film, and I was thinking about the performances I was enjoying, so I wasn't that emotionally engaged, but still. The cook from Tremé, Kim Dickens, she's the cop. She's fantastic.
She's so good.
And then they have the lawyer. I have to look these names up. The Tanner Bolt character. He's played by, I think the guy's name is Tyler Perry. And I'm enjoying their performance. I go, wow, these guys are great. Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike are sort of leaving me cold. And I think, and it's the problem I'm having with the book as well, they are so obsessed with the twist and coming at you from a right angle and surprising you that actually there's I don't have any understanding for why these things are being done. There's not nearly enough there about internal motivation. Why are they doing this? What does it mean if someone is doing these things? What does it mean if these things are hidden? What does it mean if a marriage turns sour? What does it mean if a husband and a wife have really different perspectives? Now, I know maybe I've got some really highfalutin, high cultural goals or, you know, preoccupations or proclivities, but I got to the end and I thought, well, what was the point? I didn't get, and I love David Fincher, and I love his obsession with masculinity, yep. And I think Social Network and Fight Club are fantastic.
And Seven as well.
Yeah, they're great mainstream meditations on, okay, I mean, not that we need a lot of films about what does it mean to be a man, but if you're going to do it, it's really interesting and really takes a mainstream film in a really different place. But this book and the films written by Gillian Flynn, yep. as well, she writes the script, she's so obsessed with twists. She's so obsessed with using the main characters to drive the plot forward. I just left me cold. I thought it was silly.
It is more of a puzzle film in the end. And you're right. The focus shifts from the exploration of gender and relationships and marriage to the plot twist. But also, yeah. I think he falls back on the political satire. And it's not developed. It's sort of under the surface of this film. But there's a not so subtle satire about tabloid media and fickle audiences that watch this show and how they're easily sort of twisted in terms of,
and the equivalent of TV shock jocks.
Absolutely. Yeah. And look, so that's in there as well. And you know, throughout his career, Fincher's had an underlying cynicism towards, well, pretty much every mainstream cultural institution in America, yeah. whether it's the financial institutions, whether it's the television media, whether it's, you know, conglomerations, even the family here is looked at in a pretty cynical light. And I think that the satire is there, and maybe it detracts from or distracts from the Affleck Rosamund Pike, you know. But you're right, it is a puzzle film. So that's where I think that's where it reminded me more of a genre pleasure film as opposed to an artistic intellectual.
It doesn't
film.
Have to be intellectual. It's just, she's got lots of good ideas, actually. There's lots of, but they're all discarded. And she skates over a whole lot of interesting things to keep driving you forward. It's kind of like we're all adrenaline junkies. And we constantly have to be surprised and have a twist rather than just sit for it. And she can clearly write. I mean, anyone who's selling 6 million books can write.
Well,
I pick up on things.
Dan Brown.
Yeah, but he can write. It's
really?
Just you don't. Well, it's a skill, isn't it? It's still
okay.
a skill.
That's, yeah, that's a fair point.
They've got a utility with words. You've got to have a utility with
that's
words
true.
To sell that many books.
Yep.
It's just you're using your skills for evil ends. Anyway, we should explain why we're on Twins, by the way, because we're going to talk about the skeleton twins in a moment. But Ben Affleck is twinned to his sister, Margot Dunn, and she's played by an actress. I think her name's Carrie Coon. That's not bad. That's a good relationship.
Yeah, and again, that was one of those other female roles that I thought was quite strong in the film. And given we've been coming back to this in recent times, the question begs to be asked,
yes.
Does this film pass the Bechdel test?
No. Is there a conversation between? Oh, yeah, no, there is.
Well, the other thing is the depiction of the Rosamund Pike character, I think, is fascinating. And I think this film lends itself to two very polarizing views of gender. And I don't want to kind of, I can't really talk about it too much without giving away sort of plot points. But I think you could read this film in the context of representations of women in two very different extreme ways, I think.
Yeah, it's very hard to go down that path. Let me read some of the texts. It's very disappointing. I really enjoyed the book. I had a strong sense of it being an anti-men story. The twist for me was really we're all crap, which I quite like. It's another examination of maleness and mainstream ideals, I think that word is. But it's also a thriller, pure and simple. You're being too tough. And my goodness, Raph, you're taking things too seriously. Gone Girl is great. Yeah, look, I know. Believe me, I so know I am in the minority. But that's okay. I think this will be a better film than the book. Well, I am committing to the book because it is our book club. And the film is already 2.5 hours long. How could there have been a deeper exploration of all of that? I don't know. I've seen some short films with some fantastic characterizations. And one more text. Hi, Raph. I saw Gone Girl. Interesting film. See the actions of the couple as an allegory, what people do to each other in real life. Yeah. Domestic violence without the violence. Yeah, I like that.
Or that's with David. The violence as well.
Yeah, a little bit of that as well. Look, any twin film that move you, any twin film that kind of gets you going. As we mentioned, Ben Affleck is twinned with his sister. The characters, Nick and Margot Dunn, are twins. And we're going to talk about the skeleton twins in a moment. But while we're on twins, Shiraj has called from Knoxfield. Shiraj, have you got a twin film?
I do, but thanks, guys, for almost spoiling this movie for me. I'm going to see it tonight. But
okay.
Anyway.
Well, we didn't give anything away.
We didn't give anything away.
Well, Anyway, I was going to call about Prestige. Sorry, spoiler alert, but Prestige, Christian Bale.
Yes, yes.
But since you mentioned male and female twins, Star Wars, Luke and Leia.
Oh, nice. Yeah, very good, very good. And any others?
Well, adaptation, Nick Cage in two roles.
Oh, he's not bad, is he? Yeah, and Shiraj, Shiraj's got kind of like the Teledex film catalogue going in his mind. Thanks for calling, Shiraj. 1300-222-774, your favourite twin film or just anyone you're worth mentioning. And before we get to some news and traffic, this text, I love listening to you two sitting around talking about gender themes. Want to ask a chick with 4 question marks.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson is with me. We've been talking about Gone Girl. Limited release, Gone Girl, Josh?
Yeah, one or two cinemas
only. Yeah, just
only
one or two little inner city
suburbs.
Yeah, that's right. Gone Girl's the film made by of the book. There are characters in that film who are twins. Next, we're going to talk about the Skeleton Twins. But if you've got a good twin film, Arnold and Danny and Twins, of course.
The film they're remaking. Or they're actually doing a sequel to, apparently.
A sequel. Dead Ringers, Jeremy Irons, very troubling. Oh, yes.
David Cronenberg. Love it.
That's just kind of, I really feel uncomfortable even thinking about it. Let's talk about the Skeleton Twins, Josh, before the trailer, the basic setup.
It's an American indie-style film starring Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig, two SNL, Saturday Night Live alumni. It's basically about the two of them, they're twins, they're estranged, and at the beginning of the film, Bill Hader attempts to commit suicide, which is the catalyst for them reuniting, and then he ends up moving in with her and her husband, played by Luke Wilson.
Okay, let's have a little listen.
You're my brother. We're supposed to be there for each other.
I'm tired of you acting like you're the healthy one and I'm your special needs kid.
I get depressed about my life.
So you're not a famous actor? I got news for you. No one's a famous actor.
George Clooney's a famous actor.
Okay, George Clooney, I guess that's one exception. How'd we go 10 years without talking?
That's probably not worth talking about now. You have to tell me a secret.
I slept with my scuba instructor.
Maggie...
Okay, so I'm not quite sure what to make of Skeleton Twins. Josh, is it a comedy? Is it a drama? What is it?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't want to call this a dramedy because I hate the term, but it is essentially a drama with comic moments. And those comic moments sometimes come out of the kind of the dark secrets that emerge from these characters' past. Just, you know, it's a film that captures something very genuine and real with two really fantastically written characters about, I guess, that mid to late 30-something life of what have I done since high school and where is my life going? Particularly these two characters who don't have children, and the Bill Hader character is by himself and obviously dealing with a degree of depression that's prompted him or sort of pushed him towards the suicide attempt. One of the things that struck me first of all about this film, because I think I was going in expecting a more traditional comedy, was the performances of Hader and Wiig in this film are really remarkable. I've seen them in comic films before. I think they're both really talented comic performers, but their dramatic chops are really remarkable. And even beyond that, the chemistry and the rapport that these two characters have from the very beginning of the film, they're utterly believable as siblings who have been estranged. There's just something almost intangible where you buy them on screen, the way they interact. And I'm not sure whether that came out of maybe their relationship on screen with having worked together previously, or there's...
Because I didn't get that actually with Ben Affleck and his supposed twin in Gone Girl. They didn't feel particularly like siblings to me.
Certainly not in the same way that these two do. Particularly not twins in the context of the Affleck film. But yeah, I think one of the strengths of this film is the way in which it treads that fine line between comedy and drama without ever playing it for laughs or without ever pushing it into kind of dour territory. It doesn't feel the need... You know, it has the confidence not to force the issue, and that's what makes this film so genuine and believable and really kind of affecting. Like, I connected with this film far more than I thought, and the director, Craig Johnson, he's only ever done one film sort of 4 or 5 years ago, and it feels like the work of a far more experienced writer-director.
Yeah, okay.
Really impressive film. And look, Luke Wilson as well is the third main character. Is nice. And I guess part of it comes back to this film works in the grey areas. Like, all these characters are flawed in various ways. All these characters screw up in ways, but not in the sense that it's sort of neatly divisible between that's the bad guy, that's the good guy, that's where our sympathies should lie, that's where they shouldn't. There's a scene where they get together and they sing a song, and it's Starship's Nothing is going to stop me now, if you can remember the song from Mannequin many years ago, which 99 times out of 100 would come off as one of the most awkward twee moments of any film. And here it comes off as just a kind of a beautiful, genuine moment between two siblings who are riding that crest of the wave between the highs and lows of depression. I think this is a really, really great film.
Okay, now is... Is Skeleton Twins on wide release?
Not in the same sense as Gone Girl. It is limited. It's probably about half a dozen cinemas in Melbourne that are screening it.
You know, I'm making that joke about Gone Girl. Actually, I saw today the massive screen above, you know, over the road from Flinders Street.
Yep.
It's everywhere. You sort of can't miss it. Look, here's just a... I just want to play you a little bit of... I suppose this is media schadenfreude. But, of course, if someone like me or Josh has ever asked along to interview someone who's been in a film, we usually watch the film. We're usually actually required to watch the film before that happens. Have a little listen to this entertainment reporter in Denver who's interviewing Kirsten Wiig and Ben Hader. He's at a film festival and he hasn't actually seen the film that they're in, but he's seen another film that Kirsten Wiig is in, and the actors very quickly twig that he has no idea what he's talking about. Have a little listen.
Kristen, I am thinking on this program of doing the news completely full frontal, completely nude. Do you recommend that? And do you have advice for going nude?
Do I have advice for going nude?
In the film, you do it in the film.
Moisturize.
Not this movie.
That's a different movie.
Oh, you're not nude in this film. You're nude in another one.
No.
No.
I'm nude in this movie,
and I'm upside down the whole film.
Oh, you're that Prime Minister. Right, Mr. Abbott, I thought you were Bill Shorten. Yeah, terribly embarrassing moment.
Dig up.
Yeah, just keep on digging down. Now, someone's texted in, would Gone Girl have made a better film if it was played backwards? No, not at all. And Skeleton Twins sounds like Pretty in Pink for 30-somethings. That's from George in Fairfield. It certainly seems to have hit an emotionally resonant note just at sort of 20 years after your average Breakfast Club 16 Candles kind of film. Yes?
There's a great moment where Bill Hader says, you know, I thought I had such a rough time in high school, and my dad said, it's all right, you know, the geeks like you, their best is yet to come. And he says, I peaked in high school. And it's just that moment of, damn, maybe I identify with that comment a little too much.
Look, that's sad. Look, Josh liked Gone Girl. I didn't. Either way, if you haven't seen Social Network or Fight Club, they are definitely worth a viewing. Josh, thanks so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
And Josh has actually got his Project Mayhem t-shirt on, which if you've seen or read Fight Club, you'll know a little bit about. You can check out more of Josh's stuff at filmology.com, spelt with a P-H.